triune God. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That is a good spot for an amen. By the way, there's a lot of churches today that don't believe in these truths, these essential truths of the Bible. We believe that God is one God, manifest in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I think about the time at Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized by John, and here's Jesus in bodily form, the Son of God, and the Bible says there was a voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son," which would be the Father, in whom I'm well pleased. And the Bible says they saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. You say, can you explain the Trinity, Pastor? No. I've never tried to. I think there are some simple illustrations. I know when I was a Sunday school teacher, I was able to be in Brother Tom's class today. It was great. I think of the illustration that God gives us of the egg. I think it's a perfect illustration. You have the shell, the yolk, and the white. Which one of those is not egg? No, it's all egg. But all of it's part of egg. Amen? All one egg. I think of water, ice, and steam is all H2O in different forms. And so we believe in the triune God. I think about when we baptize, as we just baptized sweet young Siddeley, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In that formula that Jesus gave to us. Amen. So we believe, and by the way, thinking about that, isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? You say, isn't everybody a child of God? No. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That day that you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you became a child of God. And I love it, even reading the passage that we read there in Matthew chapter 6. It talks about how our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we even need them. He knows. Think about it, where he said at the end of Matthew chapter 6, we know the verse of, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But Brother Jeff, the verse right before that says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." You know, don't be concerned about food and raiment. He said, "Your Father knows you have need of those things." And I think about that, I think about the passage that we read in Matthew. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. And it starts off with that two-word phrase, "Our Father." Our Father, which art in heaven. And that's what I want to talk to you today. I have a very simple, really, I guess it would be an expository and topical message for you theologians out there. It's really both, amen. As we go over to Luke chapter 15... and we're brought to the chapter of lost things. And this is such an amazing chapter. If you go back and look at verse number 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." You know, it's amazing. That has not changed. You know, and I was reading this week, just having my devotions and reading through a wonderful devotional by a preacher named Stephen Olford, a wonderful preacher from England, and just an incredible devotional. And he talked about how then and now the common people want to hear Jesus. You know, I don't know too many churches that are filled with Hollywood elites and billionaires or anything like that. But I do know a whole bunch of churches that are filled with common people. Factory workers, homemakers. Oh, doctors, lawyers, sure. People, professional people, people that own their own businesses, absolutely. But common people. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of people I want to be around. Amen. The common people that want to hear Jesus. And what did it do? I'll tell you what it did. It upset the religious crowd. And then it says in verse number 2, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured." That was their ministry, the ministry of murmuring. It says they murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And then the Bible says, and this is so important, this is what we call Bible hermeneutics. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them. Who? The publicans and sinners? Nope. The scribes and the Pharisees. And he gives us three instances of lost things. The first one we know is the story of the lost sheep. And where Jesus says, and you can read it in the text yourself, he says, look, which one of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, doesn't leave the 99 and go after the one that was lost? And when he finds it, he comes back rejoicing. You say, what is he saying? He's saying to them, these publicans and sinners are the lost ones. They're the ones we're supposed to be going after. I would say to the Pharisees, they're the ones you're supposed to be going after. And so he starts off with that ratio of 100 to 1. And then he breaks it down in the next passage, verse 8 to verse 10. We have not only the story of the lost sheep, but we have the story of the lost silver. Now the ratio goes down. It was one out of 100. Now it's 1 out of 10. It says, which one of you, if you lose a silver coin? We're not talking about here a nickel or a quarter here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a couple $100, maybe $1,000. You said you sweep the house and you search diligently till you find it. And when you find it, you rejoice. And he says, here's these publicans and sinners. They're just like that lost silver. We rejoice when they come. But then he goes from the lost sheep to the lost silver, 100 to 1, 10 to 1, and then he goes to the lost sons, which is really 1 to 1 or 2 to 1. And so much more important than lost sheep, which would be livelihood, or lost silver, which would be money, would be a lost son, the human being. Made in the similitude of God, the Bible says, the image of God, a soul for whom Jesus died. And it brings us to our context here. And I want to preach this message to you, and I hope it'll be a blessing. And many, many sermons have been preached on the prodigal son. I personally have preached out of this text, I think no less than 10 times since I've been the pastor here for the last 8 years. There's been sermons about the prodigal son in the far country and in the hog pen of sin. And I think of that great phrase in verse 17, and when he came to himself, the doctrine of repentance. But there's no passage in the scripture where we get a clearer picture, I believe, a proper view of our Father. Our Father. You know, God takes a beating in the minds of men. And sometimes even in the minds of His children. I read Romans chapter 9 this week, Brother Tim. Romans chapter 9 is a strong chapter. God's election of Israel. And Brother Jeff, simply this, are we mad that God does what He pleases, extends mercy? He doesn't have to extend mercy to anyone, but He chooses to extend mercy to whom He will. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, nothing Calvinistic about that either. God is God. He gets to be sovereign. But I think about how, even in the song, Miss Marissa talked about doubts. And how we think, why does God deal with this and why does God do this? I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. Wonderful Heavenly Father. And I have 15 points today. 15 points. I'll go through them quick, I promise. We'll be out of here at 1:30 like we normally are. Amen. And that when you get home, that chicken will be completely burnt to a crisp. Amen. We'll be out right on time. 15 things that we can learn about our Father. And listen, I would challenge you to take a pen, take a piece of paper. You got that little notes portion here. Because I'm going to tell you what, the devil over and over and over from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden says, God is not good to you. Yeah. It's the very first thing he sold Eve on. God is not good to you. God is not treating you right. God is not treating you fair. I'm going to tell you what, we learn so much about our Father. If God's your Father today, say amen. Amen.
We learn so much about him in this text. First of all, number one, look at verse number 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Say, well, what do you see there, Pastor? I'll tell you what I see. Number one, God loves us. Our Father loves us. Say, how do you know, Pastor? Because I have two sons. Brother Tim, you have two sons. Brother Bill, you have two sons. Love them beyond measure. Just couldn't possibly, you know, when we first had Eric, God gave us Eric, and we looked at him and just thought, hey, you parents, you know, you've all been through this. You thought, how could I love anybody any more than this? And then God gives you another one, and you love the one you've already had just as much, but now you got this more love for this one. And I think about my own two sons, and I think about every one of us that is a father or a mother in this room, and the love you have for your children. Hey, listen, we love him because he first loved us. You know, the truth is this: God loves you. Our Father loves you. I look at my boys sometimes, and I think about when my mom was telling me, when we had the announcement a few weeks back, and we announced that Pastor Donald was going to be leaving, and my little boy Eric just burst into tears. And I thought, oh, you know, just the love that's there for that little boy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's love is so high and so far above that. You say, well, I disappoint him. You know, I appreciate Pastor Donald saying, you can't disappoint God. He already knows what's going to happen.
Yep. Right.
Now, I'm not saying you can't disobey him. You certainly can do that. But listen, when your children disobey you, do you stop loving them? No, not at all. And so, number one today, a certain man had two sons. Number one, our Father loves us. Number two, I see in the next verse, it says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." So here is, ladies and gentlemen, a selfish youngest child. We got some youngest children in the room here, amen? I'm an only adopted child, so I fall into every category, hallelujah. It says, "And he divided unto them," not him, "he divided unto them his living." Say, what's the second thing you see? Well, first of all, our Father loves us. Secondly, our Father is generous. That was not the custom to give the inheritance. By the way, still not the custom to give the inheritance before death. It was after death. It was after death. And so what I see here from our Father is he is generous. You know, that verse in Matthew chapter 7, it says that speaking about us, it says, "Howbeit that you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask?" How many in this room, by an amen, how many in this room prayed this week? Amen. Did you get some answers to prayer? You know why? Because your heavenly Father's generous. You say, were we all deserving of answers to our prayer? I think it would be more oh me's than amens. But our heavenly Father's generous. You know how I know he's generous? He who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. Our heavenly Father's generous. He's generous. He meets our needs, doesn't he? And a whole lot of our wants, too. Why? Because he's generous. So our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Heavenly Father's generous. Oh, I think about this. Verse 12 and 13. We read verse 12. Look at verse 13. It says, "And not many days after, his younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Verse 17, he says there, "When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Number three, our Father lets us choose. Our Father lets us choose. There's a, I mentioned the CD of the month, and brother, I think Brother Dave picked up a copy today. One of my favorite songs in there is called I Give You Freedom. It's a song about the whippoorwills. It says that there's a line in there, it says, mine own come to me by choice. He lets us choose. This week, God lets you choose whether to obey him or disobey him. He lets you choose. Amen. He's not a puppet master with his thumb on you. He lets us choose. He let us choose whether to come to church today or not. There's a lot of Christians that didn't lose their salvation because they didn't come to church today. Thank God. Amen. He lets us choose. And by the way, that makes the choice all the more beautiful when we choose to love him and serve him. I think about the story of Job and how Satan just, Brother Don, afflicted him. And God said to Satan, he said, you see him? He still loves me. No matter what you do to him, he loves me. He lets us choose. He lets us choose. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. He lets us choose. He is generous. He loves us. Number 4, verse 17. Look at it there. It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Say, what do you learn here? I see that he provides for his own. He provides for his own. Have you ever got to that point? And I think about different points of life and how it happens. And sometimes it can be of our own making. And sometimes it can be just everything happens at once where you think, I have no idea how God is going to meet this need. And then he does. And we're actually shocked when we shouldn't be. Amen? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Here's the prodigal son in the hog pen, one of the most awful places for a Jewish boy to ever be found. And he says this, what am I doing here? You know, I'm thinking back in my mind, and my father's servants have bread to spare. They're just servants. And I'm a son. And what did he say about his father? He said, my father takes care of his own. God will take care of you. Don't be foolish. Come on. Listen, do right by your money. Don't overspend. I know we live in a country that the debt keeps trillionizing. Normal people can't live that way. You need to spend less than you earn. Amen? But when you are doing the right things, and when you are being faithful to what God has said, know this, God provides for his own. God takes care of his own. How many people could tell stories of God? Listen, we could testify all afternoon of God's provision. So he provides for his own. He lets us choose. He's generous. He loves us. Number 5, verses 18 and 19, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what I see here? I see our God is approachable. Our Father is approachable. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because I can tell you what, Brother Jack, I've said those exact words to him many times. And he never said, you're not my son anymore. Right. No. You sin, you let God down. Say amen. Yes, you do. Amen. Absolutely. Me too. You know what? You could say to him, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help and mercy in time of need. That because of what Christ did,
Because he died on the cross and he tore that veil, and he is the great high priest. We don't need the high priest to go in every year on the Day of Atonement. That was the Day of Atonement that you and I can approach God. And we can come to God and say, I've sinned. What an amazing thing. Well, I tell you, as a father, I always want to be approachable. I don't want my kids to turn to somebody else because I'm this grouchy ogre every time they do wrong. Listen, I don't like it when they do wrong. Not at all. And there are times I am a grouchy ogre. Don't tell anybody, amen. That's just our little secret. But I want to be approachable to them because I know my Father's approachable with me. Amen? He's approachable. He provides for His own. He lets us choose. He's generous. He loves us. Oh, wow, this one right here. Verse 20, it says, and he arose and came to his father. That, by the way, that's the key. It's one thing to decide you're going to come to the Father, and it's another thing to do it. He decided, yeah, I'm going to go to my father. But then he did it. It said he arose and came to his father. And I love this verse. It says, but when he was yet a great way off. I wonder how long is a great way, Brother Horsch. I don't know. I don't know how long it is. You know, sometimes the Bible say a stone's cast. Or a Sabbath day's journey, how far the Jews could walk. This says a great way off. It means it was a good distance. And it says, and his father saw him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Number 6, our Father patiently waits for us to come home. Our Father patiently waits for us to come home. When you have sin in your life, our Father patiently waits for you to come home. Just patiently waiting. And the idea here is that for him to see his son a great way off, Brother Lowell, I think he was looking for him every day. Might have went out, maybe there was that road, Miss Merrill, that led to the far country. And maybe there was just this hill that you could stand on and see as far down that road as you can. And he looked and he saw him. By the way, he didn't go and give him more money. Now listen, my crop's not in. Some of you have adult children, and you know there's a fine line between helping and enabling. The prodigal was out on his own. His father gave him the money, but he didn't go give him more. Forgive me, he didn't give him an ATM card to let him keep sinning. But he patiently waited for him to come home. That's our Father, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we always think of sin as just this kind of sin. We're going to talk about it a little bit. The sins of the flesh and whatnot. Listen, there's a lot of people with sins of the heart that even could sit in church and be far from God. And He's just patiently waiting for you to come home. He's patiently waiting for you to put that away and get back to fellowshipping with Him. So He patiently waits for us to come home. Right along with that, He misses us when we're away. He misses us when we're away. Again, I can only speak as a dad, and obviously verse 20 tells us that. I can speak as a dad. I've had the privilege on behalf of this church to go twice to the Philippines. And not having any contact, particularly the first time I went, you know, I didn't have an international phone or anything like that. I couldn't call home or do anything like that. I want to tell you something, how badly, Brother Jim, I missed my children when I was apart from them. And I knew it was only going to be for 2 weeks, but I'm telling you, I was literally sitting in a bed in the prophet's chamber that Brother Nono gave me, watching videos of my kids going, I miss my kids. And then I got home and said, I miss the Philippines. You know, because of the noise, 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 like the Grinch said. But I'm telling you, it's true. Our Father misses us when we're away. That's why you ought to keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. You know what? Your Father misses you when you've been away. And you know when you're away. Listen, I don't have to come and you know, I see that hand. No, you know when you're far from God. As we've said before, you can be backslidden and sit toward the front of the church. It, ladies and gentlemen, he misses you when you're away. That's your father. Your father. He loves us. He's generous. He lets us choose. He provides for his own. He's approachable. He patiently waits for us to come home. He misses us when we're away. Also, verse 20, he receives us when we come home. He receives us when we come home. It's a great example for those of us that are parents that have a prodigal child that's away. It says there, when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He received him. He didn't say, oh, what'd you do with all my money? It's amazing to me how many squabbles there are over money. I've been a pastor now for a little while, and I've seen people pass away. Even this week, I heard about somebody that passed away, and they left some money to the church, and then they left a good portion of all their children, and the kids were upset that the parents left the money to the church, and they were fighting it out over all that. I joke all the time with our kids. I said, kids, you know, it's going to say, the will's going to say this, we gave it all to missions. Sorry. We sent it on ahead. Amen. Do you know what the father didn't say? What'd you do with my money? You use it all up? Tell me what you did with it. He just said, welcome home, son. We missed you. And I love it. It says he fell on his neck and kissed him. And Brother Casey was probably dirty, filthy, had the smell of hog all over him, stink, and he didn't care. And I tell you this, when we came to him, we had the smell of hog all over us, stink and filth, and sometimes we still do. You know what he says? Welcome home. Welcome home. That's what I always want this church to be, as long as I'm your pastor. I want it to be a place that says, welcome home. Amen. Welcome home. Welcome back. Come on. Come on back. Hey, sometimes you got to get things right. We've done church discipline a couple times. Don't like doing it. Has to be done sometimes. And then sometimes folks come back. Make things right. Glory. He receives us when we come home. Oh, verse 21 and 22, he says, and the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. You say, what do you see there, Pastor? Our Father is forgiving. Our Father is forgiving. Here's the son. He knew what he had done. He relived it, Brother Bill, over and over and over in his mind, all the ways that he defiled himself. And the Father said, you're forgiven. Come on, let's go. You know, sometimes we bring stuff to the altar, and we tell God about it. And then we tell God about it again the next day and the next day and the next day. And I've quoted this verse already once today, but the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful and just every time. Faithful is every time. Faithful is every time. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So listen to me. Though you remember it, God doesn't. He's forgiving. He's good by his word. He's good by his word. He's forgiving. Verse 22. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Say, what do you see here? He restores us when we come home. He restores us when we come home. And I want to say just a caveat to this, I guess. Listen, if a pastor fouls out of the ministry, he doesn't get to be a pastor anymore. Amen. I'm a pastor. If a pastor fouls out of the ministry, he doesn't get to be a pastor anymore. If a deacon fouls out, you say, what do you mean fouls out? They go after some woman that's not their wife. They foul out. They don't get to be a deacon anymore. But if they come with a repentant heart, they still get to be a child of God.
Yeah.
And they still can be restored to fellowship one with another. Again, I'm not for that. It's wrong. It happens too often in churches. Amen? Yeah. But I'm here to tell you something. When a wayward child comes home, truly repents, the Father restores him. Restores him. This is the text. That's our Father. And we all better thank God that's our Father. Because I'll tell you what, the folks think, well, I haven't sinned since 1979. Well, you just broke your streak, amen? Because you're lying. No. No, every one of us has sinned after we got saved. And our Father, when we come to Him, sorrowful for our sins, He restores us. Number 11, verse 23, it says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry." You know what? He not only restores us when we come home, but He rejoices when we come home. And we see it earlier in the chapter when the man found his sheep, they came rejoicing. Lady found her silver, they rejoiced. How much more when a son comes home? The Father rejoices. It means it literally brings joy to the heart of God when a wayward child comes home. And somebody said the only one who really lost in this story was the fatted calf. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Kill the fatted calf. He rejoices when we come home. Verse 28, look at this. This is very interesting. Talks about verse 27, look at verse 25. It says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and called one of his servants, and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Verse 28 says, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." Now, what do you see here about our Father? I see that our Father knows His children. My children, Eric and Luke, are as different as night and day. I'm telling you, they're different. They're just different. Eric looks like me, but he has his mother's disposition, thank God. Poor Luke. Looks like his mother, and he has his father's disposition. I see my mother could tell you all kinds of stories. I see my temper in Luke at times. I think of the temper I had as a kid and just, oh, that poor boy. Sowing and reaping. You can't get away from it, amen? You just can't get away from it. But I think about how even my wife, who homeschools our children, how she teaches Eric and how she teaches Luke. And it's different. It's different. Truth is truth, amen. Math needs to be learned, all that. But I'm talking about the way they learn is different. And I'm going to tell you something we see about our Father right here, is He waited for the prodigal, but He went after the elder brother. You know what that tells me? He knows His children. He knows how to deal with His children. He knows what will work with His children. Those of you that manage and lead, you know this, that different people respond to different types of leadership. And I'm telling you what, our Father here knows His children. And so then, look at verse 29. It says, "And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." I tell you what, I see that I too many times in this text. I is the middle letter of pride, which is always focused on I. Pride is always focused on I. "But as soon as this thy son," not my brother, "thy son, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots," and he didn't know that, by the way. He didn't know that was true. Just a supposition here. "Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son," you know, "a soft answer turneth away wrath." Proverbs tells us, "Son, thou art ever with me." What do you see here? I see our Father is gentle. Our Father's gentle. You know, if it was some of us, what we would have said? Hey, did you not get your inheritance either, buddy? I think you did when I divided unto them their inheritance. Go ahead, go get your own fatted calf. I gave you plenty of money. Flesh. Flesh. You know, it's funny, people like to talk about the righteous anger of Jesus overturning the tables. They did that twice in his life. You did it twice this week. Sometimes it's just flesh. Just letting the flesh. I'll tell you what, our Father's gentle. He's gentle. He says here, son. Son. Can you hear it? Can you hear the tone in his voice? Son, thou art ever with me. You're here. You've been with me. I read a great passage by G. Campbell Morgan about this passage, and he said his story reveals the possibility of living in the Father's house but not understanding the Father's heart. That smite you, Christian? That was me. He's gentle. Verse 31, it says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know what I see there? He's not only gentle, but he's kind. He's kind. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He deals kindly with his son here. He loves us. He's generous. He lets us choose. Provides for his own. He's approachable. Patiently waits for us to come home, misses us when we're away, receives us when we come home, is forgiving, restores us when we come home, rejoices when we come back, knows his children, is gentle, is kind. And then lastly, verse 31 and 32, he says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, or proper, or becoming, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Say, what does this show us about our Father? Our Father desires fellowship with all his children. Our Father desires fellowship with all his children. All of us. Wouldn't it be something? I've thought about this as a pastor. Wouldn't it be something if we could get every member of this church in church at the same time? I'm telling you, we'd have to hang people out the windows, amen? It would just be amazing. Not just that, but each day, that would be our corporate fellowship as a body, amen? But each day, you know what your Heavenly Father wants to do? He wants to talk with you. He wants you to talk with him. Right. One of my favorite things to do, I'm closing with this, and I'll give you just some applications here. What do we need to do in regards to knowing our Father here? Just like the prodigal, we need to realize if we're away from him or not as close to him as we should be. We need to repent, and we need to return, and he will restore us. One of my very favorite activities is in the summer and in the autumn, not so much in the spring because you got that wetness and mud and all that, is I will take my children and we will walk around our neighborhood. We have where we live. We live over by, some of you know where the Queens Catholic Church is. We live back by there. And so there's just wide sidewalks for the gym, and we could just walk. And Luke likes to take like his tricycle, and Eric will take his bike, and then sometimes we just walk. Sometimes we just walk. And I love just, it's such a simple thing. Isn't it amazing? You know, I'm all for the vacations and all that and doing things, but just a simple thing like a walk, Brother Dear, just a walk. And we'll just talk. We'll just walk and talk. And they'll say, we get to the end, we'll say, which way, Dad? I say, well, go right.
is you shouldn't go left. I don't want my kids going left. No. Sometimes I said, take a left, and a left. They said, Dad, we're home. Amen. That's what happens. Amen. Take three lefts. But we'll walk, and they'll talk to me, and I'll talk to them. And I think about the days. And, you know, Brother Tim, how old's Luke? 33, 34? See? Can't remember. Just 30, 34. I mean, he's grown. He's grown. He's had hosted a great youth rally yesterday. And I thought about it even last night. I was praying with my kids. I said, we sit around the dinner table. We'll sit around the dinner table today, and we'll talk. They'll talk with me. I'll talk with them. And pretty soon, they'll be 34. They'll be gone. And I'll miss. And I'll desire fellowship with them when I can, when they can. Amen? You know what our Heavenly Father wants? Just like I want with my kids. Just like you want. Just fellowship with him. That's what he wants from you. He wants fellowship, not just with the prodigal who came home, but with the prodigal who had his arms folded and wouldn't come in. And he went out and got him. Said, come on, son. Now, there's no record of the rest of the story. And the reason is there's no record of the rest of the story is he spake it to the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, while I'm over here helping people that need help, you're out here with your arms folded. It's the interpretation of the parable, ladies and gentlemen. The interpretation is the scribes and the Pharisees despised the publicans and the sinners. He wants fellowship with all his children. Every one of us, God wants our fellowship. Our Father, he's a wonderful Father.
Amen.
He's a wonderful Father. Father, thank you.